You're listening to Canary Crack Flyby, the food for thought from a place of faith. Here's Basil and Gons.
Hey everybody, welcome to a Canary Cry Flyby. My name is Gons. This is going to be a short one, but a good one. On March 25th, 2024, I posted on X at Face Like the Sun. Yes, yes, yes.
No!
So what was this all about? Well, this was a post by Candace Owens, who had recently been let go of Daily Wire. Now, a little background on the story here. Basically, Candace Owens, who, if you don't know, is a New York Times best-selling author. She was part of Blexit. She's a black conservative woman, a Christian, who is pushing back against the mainstream and doing all that stuff for the alt media. You can call her an alt media star. And she had been stationed at the Daily Wire for a little while, and things didn't look right last year. Some things crept up, especially after October 7th and what happened with Gaza and Palestine and Israel and the whole deal that we're in right now. Well, even before then, for those of you who have listened to Canary Cry News Talk over the years, I had noticed that we were getting prepared for a division in this country, not just a right-left, not just a Democrat-Republican, not just liberal versus conservative or anything like that, but more so within the lines of religion, within the lines of spirituality. And there's already a divide between atheists and theists, and that was sort of stage one. And it seems like the theists won that argument. If you really look at the last 20, 30 years in the academic realms, theism slayed atheism. But now within theism, we must continue to divide. And so the fabric and the undergirding principle of the United States of America, which is that we were founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Now, it can be debated whether that is true or not. There's some history that shows us how maybe our early founding fathers used this ethic as a way to dethrone the king of England and to become independent. And so it's built into the United States from the core that we are rebellious and that we break away from authoritarian regimes and things of that nature. And so now we have within alt media many splinters starting to form as we get pushed into the network state. But the splitting of the Judeo and the Christian, of this idea of a Judeo-Christian ethic, had to happen at the highest levels in terms of media and visibility. Otherwise, people don't really understand or choose sides without their representatives involved. And so when Candace Owens gets let go or fired from the Daily Wire, there's obviously a split. There are people who are loyal to Daily Wire, who is majority Jewish. You have Ben Shapiro, who's the star, who we've been sort of making fun of, not in a serious way, but we pointed out how the economic model over there at Daily Wire was basically the exact blueprint for mainstream corporate news media, just labeled alt media. And so they're sort of the biggest operation in that regard. But I'll play this 10-second clip from the Ben Shapiro show to exemplify how this alt media is pretty much exactly like mainstream media. This was a clip from back, I believe it was early 2020, so about 4 years ago. Joe Biden was running for president against Trump, obviously, and it's a transition from one segment into an advertisement.
As we'll see, there are some questions to be brought about just how much of a friend to democracy and freedom of the press Joe Biden is. And meanwhile, the media continue to craft that narrative in just 1 second. First, let us talk about the fact that everybody loves waffles.
Smooth, professional. But of course, the most important thing in the world at the time, or at least for Americans, Joe Biden, the elections, hold that thought, because
everybody loves waffles.
And again, it's not really to just make fun of Ben Shapiro or anything like that. It's more so a commentary on the economic model that drives alt media at an operation like Daily Wire. But that's beside the point. That's a whole nother conversation. And I'm trying to finish this article on X that talks about this idea of independent media being infiltrated by mainstream media to create the alternative media as an industry. And then along with that, how we are being turned into intelligence operatives, every single one of us who publishes anything online. And I dive into that and I dissect it and I explain what I mean when I say that, because I know it can be triggering to say something like that. But I think when you look at what's happening, the splintering, the dividing, the sociological divides that are taking place, especially on the internet, which is an abstraction to reality, there are new ways we need to assess and analyze this landscape. And so that's what the article is about. But back to this whole idea of Candace Owens. The splitting of the Judeo and the Christian becoming more palpable. Well, here we go. This is what Candace Owens said after she was accused of being anti-Semitic for saying Christ is king, which again, on the surface, of course, if this community of Jewish people start saying, and this is not really a whole community, it's just some of these loud voices that happen to run the biggest alt-media news engine out there. If individuals in that camp start suggesting that by declaring Christ as king, you are basically being anti-Semitic.
My race. I'm a Jew. I'm proud of my race. It's a great race. It's done many, many great things, including write the Bible. And, you know, I am a Jew. But that hasn't happened at all. Christians have welcomed me with open arms, except this Christ the King anti-Semitic crowd. Christ is the King, and one day every knee will bow and recognize it, because he's not just my king, he's king of the universe. But when you use that phrase to mean that God has abandoned his chosen people, the Jews, through whom he came into this world incarnate, and that he's broken his promises, his covenant with the Jews, you are quoting scripture like Satan does in the Bible. You are quoting scripture to your purposes, and that to me is specifically wicked. You know, when you spit that phrase at Ben Shapiro, my friend Ben Shapiro, and you know, I understand this. All of you who love Ben, and I love Ben, and Jordan Peterson, you all want to see them find Jesus, because you know what joy and freedom that gives you, and you certainly feel that it alters your relationship with God. But when I think about this, to be honest with you, you know, and I know some people will disagree with this, but life is not a game show where you guess the name of God and you get to go to heaven. Honk, you know, yes, the name is Jesus. I look at Ben's life and I think if Ben were to embrace Jesus Christ, it would cause devastation to his family, to the people who love him, to the people who listen to him, to his position in the world. I just have this feeling that God has put this guy where he wants him to do what he wants him to do.
For me, it's about accepting responsibility for my own sins on myself, and I don't have the ability to say that there is the suffering servant, the suffering Lamb of God, who sacrificed himself to relieve me of my sins, mm-hmm. and therefore give me a fair shot at life.
Do you think he's resurrected?
No, that's not a Jewish belief.
Okay, I just want to check.
Yeah, no, we're not into miracle stories. No, that's not.
You don't have any miracles?
No, not by Jesus. This narrative has some holes in sort of Jewish philosophy. In the Gospels, Jesus' vision of himself as the Messiah is completely different from the prior vision of what the Jewish Messiah is, and is actually outside the scope of how Jews describe the Messiah, or really have ever described the Messiah. The Messiah in Judaism has always been a political figure who is destined to do certain things, restoring the kingdom of Israel, maintaining control of that kingdom, bringing more Jews back to Israel. All of these things are considered sort of political things.
It's like picking a fight. Candace Owens says this: the reason why some people believe, with enough insistence, they can convince American Christians that the basic truth, Christ is King, is actually anti-Semitic, is because they have been successfully spiking the ball in Christianity for the past 60 years. I tend to agree with that a little bit, especially in terms of the nation-state Israel and Christianity, or at least the part of the charismatic community and the prophetic community in America that are really tied to Israel being a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, and so therefore they can do no wrong geopolitically, that you have to stay loyal to them no matter what, and it's the greatest ally of the United States, all these things. Instead of dealing with the actual theology, or more specifically, I think, eschatology, they allowed the Christian West to sort of use the modern nation state of Israel to be this thing that is supernatural, and then profit off of it in a sense. So they have not directly addressed perhaps the disagreements in eschatology, but I think that's sort of where we're headed here. Back to Candace Owens' thing here. Inch by inch, by pretending to be our friends and making us fearful of having the media project us as overzealous, is how they have scored so many wins. It's how mocking Christ has become commonplace in Hollywood. Again, makes a whole lot of sense. You think about some of the ethnic ties to places like entertainment industries, Hollywood, you can say, again, not everyone, but just a majority of people that are in that industry tend to believe that Christ is King is not a true statement. And so when you're working with a public that generally believes that, in a country that generally believes that. You can't outright say it, but you can through entertainment. And that's why Hollywood entertainment, it's all been anti-Christ for decades. It makes a whole lot of sense. Back to Candace Owens. The reality is that they accuse us of what they are guilty of. They hold contempt for Christianity. Okay, continuing on. The reality is that Christ consciousness is rising throughout the world, and any person who is attempting to use methods of psychology to make people pause before they profess their faith is not on the side of goodness.
What? No.
No!
No. No, no,
no. No, 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 no.
No!
It's so bad. It's, I mean, she's so close. She's so close. But no, I don't know if she understands what Christ consciousness even means. But I will say that the reason why this was alarming was because it speaks to something precisely we've been pointing out. I think Chris White was really pointing it out, and others like Keith Thompson, who made the film Aquarius, The Age of Evil, and was pretty influential in making Age of Deceit as well, is that there was going to be this false Christ appearance that's going to look like it's the real thing. And of course, for Christians, it's kind of like, yeah, of course, the Antichrist. We know about the Antichrist. Yeah, the man of sin, he's going to do the stuff. He's going to be this or be that or be from this country or that country. And we all have little pieces of it. But the reason why in the late aughts and into the 2010s, a really small fringe group of Christians were talking about this issue of Alice A. Bailey and the reappearance of Christ, which is her document that I have in front of me for anybody watching here, straight from the LuciusTrust.org website, which of course Lucius Trust formally, they started as Lucifer Magazine, but maybe, you know, it wasn't really catching on, so they changed it to Lucius Trust. But Alice A. Bailey is a occultist. She is a theosophist from the early 1900s, and she claims to have channeled a ascended master named Dejwa Kul, and through that she channeled and received all kinds of information that she wrote down. And so part of that became her books, one of them being The Reappearance of the Christ. Now in this document, you read it, and really what she's trying to do is take the language of Christianity, the title of Christ, and blending it with all of the other world religions and spiritualities to make it seem like a unified front. I'll give you an example. This is from Alice Bailey's The Reappearance of the Christ. The general staff of the Christ is already active in the form of the new group of world servers. They are as potent a body of forerunners as has ever preceded a world figure, a figure in capital F, into the arena of mankind's living. Their work and influence is already seen and felt in every land, and nothing can destroy that which they have accomplished. The spiritual and organizing effect of expressed and voiced invocation have been also attempted since 1935, and the energy of the invocative cry of humanity has been directed into those channels which reach from earth to that high place where dwells the Christ. From there, it has been transmitted to those still higher spheres, where the attention of the Lord of the world, the Ancient of Days, the Father of all, plus the creative energies and living beings who dwell there with him, can be focused on humanity, and those steps can be taken which will embody more rapidly the purposes of God. So again, if you're not familiar with the background, it kind of sounds like, okay, kind of sounds like, all right, maybe Jesus is coming back and, you know, you can pray and there's already a group out there that's spreading the message that Jesus is about to return. And apparently they've been able to spread around the whole world, and they're called the new group of world servers, which I find interesting because, you know, in the modern sense, servers are databases that basically run the internet, you know? So it's kind of weird that she used the word servers. But it's in this context of having this energy of the invocative cry of humanity, meaning that they are sort of mourning the fact that the earth and the world has become so corrupt. And so they are preaching this return of this Christ figure, and that there are already people out there setting the stage for this to happen. Next paragraph. For the first time in human history, the demand of the people of the earth is so potent and so in line with divine direction in time and space that the end is inevitably sure. The looked-for spiritual representative must come forth. This time, he will not come alone, but will be accompanied by those whose lives and words will evoke recognition in every department of human thinking. The symbolic prophecies found in all the world scriptures anent this imminent event will prove their veracity. Their symbolism will nevertheless elicit reinterpretation. Circumstances and happenings will not necessarily be exactly as the scriptures would appear to indicate. For instance, he will come indeed in the clouds of the air, Matthew 26:64, as the Christian scriptures say, but of what great interest is that when millions come and go in the clouds each hour of the day and the night? I mention this as one of the outstanding prophecies and one of the most familiar. It is, however, one which means little in our modern civilization. A fact of importance is that he will come. Interesting. This is right when planes started happening for her time, so she's looking around going, oh, so it says here that Jesus is going to come in the clouds, and look at us now in these airplanes. We're just moving all around the clouds. Maybe she missed the part from Daniel where it says, people will go to and fro, and knowledge will increase. Interesting. But I want to get back on point and find that phrase, Christ consciousness, and here it is in this document from LuciusTrust.org. Quote, it was pointed out then that the first move which the Christ would make would be the stimulation of the spiritual consciousness in man, the evocation of humanity's spiritual demand on a large scale, and the nurturing on a worldwide scale of the Christ consciousness in the human heart. I mean, it is right there, folks. The phrase Christ consciousness is right there in this document from what used to be called Lucifer Magazine. I don't know what else to tell you. This has already been done, and with most effective results. Of the factual nature of this process, the vociferous demands of men of goodwill, of welfare workers, and of those pledged to international cooperation to the relief of the world distress and to the establishment of right human relations are the undeniable expression. Interesting. That's all the stuff that's being torn down right now. All of this international cooperation stuff that was the defining thing for the 20th century. It's all crumbling right now. But isn't it interesting that in place of it is allegedly rising this Christ consciousness, according to Candace Owens, the phase of the preparatory work, which is indicative of his coming, and now has reached a stage where nothing can arrest its progress or slow down its momentum. In spite of appearances, this uprising of the Christ consciousness has been successful, and what may appear as reverse activity is of no importance in the long run, but is only of a temporary nature. Interesting. This idea of a reverse activity, maybe she's referring to this whole teardown that we're seeing now. So again, I don't know if Candace Owens directly understands this point or not. Maybe she lives in a bubble and she won't get this information, but somebody has to be in her ear telling her that this is not the greatest sort of thing to lean into. But maybe not, because it's the rise of this alt faith that is taking place that is, you know, it's one of those things that is wrapped in politics. And so when it's wrapped in politics, it can appear as though the words being used, like Christ and Christian and all this stuff, it's all the same. But as we know, words mean things and words can be twisted and the whole deal. So it's troubling. Now, again, this is a commentary on the complicated era that we live in, because it's not that we're defending Daily Wire here. I'm personally not in the same sort of hyper pro-Israel at all costs type of guy. That's just not who I am. But I am also as critical of our own United States government as I am of the Zionist regime. And so it's more of a political criticism, not a personal or ethnic or anything like that. So I think, you know, we have to explain these nuances nowadays, because otherwise people just slam you down and, hey, you're anti-Semitic and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And but that's sort of the temperament of the day. And we've always moved in nuance here at Canary Cry, and that's sort of kept us under the radar, and I think that's a huge blessing. But I want to pin this on Alex Jones as well. Everybody knows who Alex Jones is nowadays. Of course, he was back on X, and he had a Spaces on X recently that I'm going to play a little piece for you, and I think you'll get why I am connecting this Candace Owens Christ consciousness conversation with Alex Jones and the way he uses this idea of an uprising, and it'll lead into our friend Donnie Darkind, who was able to jump into the call and have a moment with Alex Jones. And he was holding his baby, and I don't think he was able to articulate everything he wanted to in a short amount of time. You know, you get the Exa Spaces is pretty crazy. You get in there, you can request to get on stage, and if they pick you, you can just be up there all of a sudden. Boom, you're up there talking to Alex Jones. So it can happen really quick. I have not tried to enter into these conversations, nor will I try, I don't think, anytime soon. But I can talk about it here. And so let me play a little bit of this conversation that took place on March 21st. It was titled Alex Jones Exposes Secrets of the Deep State with Speakers.
Repeat that. So important. Please say it again.
All right, my model builders out there. All right. Your creativity is the biggest thing. So you don't fight the establishment on its own terms. You don't fight it head on. You build a new model that makes the old model redundant, much like how.
And that's what the Renaissance was all about. So the globalists are building their program of transhumanism. Musk is building a separate system where we have a choice. And you can say, well, that's bad. Well, it's getting built anyways. So it's a tool. It's like a gun. The left doesn't get, oh, a gun, it's bad. No, it's who has it. And so that's absolutely true. And that's what we must understand is that we are at this Promethean point. We have been given Promethean fire. We now have to decide, how do we use this Promethean fire? Instead of accepting whatever the globalists who are against us and don't want competition tell us to do with fire, they don't even tell us the fire's there. We accept the fire's there and then use God's guidance and the Holy Spirit to then direct that incredible enlightenment, which is the Promethean genesis of what's about to happen.
Amen. And I love that you bring up that myth, because, you know, he, like yourself, endured a great deal of torment to get the word out and the fire back in the day.
But I'm telling you, a great bird eating my liver every day is a pleasure to do this.
But it is an honor beyond an honor speaking to you, Alex. So, you know, I hope, you know, this is the first of many conversations we can have. I'm a good friend of Jake Chan.
I'm cutting you off. It's been 2 minutes without me interrupting. What do you want to impart to folks?
Okay, so that was a little clip of a guy named Prometheus talking about all of this stuff going on and Alex Jones responding. And obviously you can hear what he said about taking this Promethean fire and accepting what the globalists give us, or push back and build something else where there's a choice, and sort of using Elon Musk as an example. What's interesting is that conversation right there between Prometheus and Alex Jones is very much in line with the Lucius Trust worldview, because LuciusTrust.org has this article, Dissent and Sacrifice. There's always a choice of two paths, and it is a choice which must, for the human being, be guided by free will. This was something that was printed in The Beacon in September through October 1989 by Sarah McKechnie, and here's what she said. The mystery of the descent or fall to earth of the rebellious angels, the solar angels of Agnish Vatas, is said to be the mystery hinted at in the scriptures and the secret of the ages, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 93. Thus, it is not surprising that there is so much confusion and misunderstanding concerning the quote-unquote fallen angels, of which Lucifer is the best-known representative. The secret of the fallen angels is essentially the mystery which lies behind the very plan of evolution, plan is in capital P, for the solar angels' willingness to quote-unquote fall, to sacrifice themselves in order to bring light of the principle of mind to what was then animal man, marked the coming into action of the great law of duality by which matter, form, negative and passive, could be quickened by spirit. This act of sacrifice at the dawn of human history is a thread woven throughout the great scriptures and mythologies of the world, including the myth of Prometheus, who stole fire, mind, for man, and the biblical story of the prodigal son, who left the father's home to embark upon the path of experience and life of form and the senses, the journey to, quote, the far country, The role of the Solar Angels and their sacrifice on behalf of humanity is discussed at length in The Secret Doctrine by H.P. Blavatsky. In fact, in 1887, the magazine of the Theosophical Society took Lucifer as its name in an effort to bring clarity to what it regarded as an unfairly maligned sacrificing angel. So interesting that the Lucius Trust magazine would invoke the name of Prometheus as this misunderstood positive mythology to represent this rise of what they would refer to as Christ consciousness, which is exactly what Alex Jones is talking about here, using the Promethean fire and how do we wield it? How do we express it? And, you know, they're talking about pushing back against the system in this way. I do find it a little bit troubling. I do find it exactly what Chris White talked about over a decade ago, this new world order.
I said this earlier, and I know you're here, Chase Geyser, who's the next person?
Let's hear from Donnie Darkand. Donnie Darkand, go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say.
Hey, thank you so much for allowing me to get on here. I'm literally watching my kids right now. I'm holding my 9-month-old as I'm talking, but I really feel like I need to say something that I found very interesting. And Alex, I've been following you for many years. I respect you a lot. And oh yeah, there she goes.
We don't mind that. We love babies. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page with that. And so I found really interesting is the mention of the Promethean flame. And I talk a lot about this. I'm not sure if you're familiar with my work, but if not, I really recommend checking it out because I posit something a little bit different than what most people are saying, which is that, you talked about the Promethean flame and how it's been given to humanity so that we can unify and, kind of collectively awaken to the prison that we're in, the Matrix, right? And, if you think about Prometheus, he's actually an occult mirror of Lucifer, who in the occult is seen as the light bearer, the bringer of light and intellect. And in the same way that Prometheus gave humanity the gift of the flame of intellect in defiance to Zeus, is an occult mirror of how Lucifer gave the fruit of the tree of knowledge or intellect or gnosis to humanity in defiance of God. And one of the things that I talk about is how, Jesus, he warned of a deception in the last days that would be so powerful, it would deceive even the elect if it were possible. And, when we look at the Great Reset and we look at this obviously wicked, tyrannical agenda to enslave and subjugate humanity, we think about Klaus Schwab and George Soros and all of these transparently evil characters that take no discernment at all to identify as evil. And, this doesn't qualify as a deception powerful enough to even deceive the elect if possible, And what we see—
Sure, well, listen, I get where you're going. So state your thesis, and I know where you're going. I will give you my answer if you want to listen to it.
Okay, so I confronted David Icke a couple weeks ago on a space similar to this. And I mentioned how, he wrote in his books how he channeled these spirits or spiritual forces that are supposedly benevolent beings who are assisting humanity or guiding them towards enlightenment by freeing them from the prison planet, which mirrors exactly how the occult views Lucifer as the liberator from God's prison. See, in the occult rendition of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were seen as prisoners.
I said this earlier, and I know where you're going, so let me explain something. You heard me earlier say the Bible calls Lucifer the morning star and Jesus the morning star. Okay? So there is a false God claiming he's going to give you liberation, but with a deformed program that's not free speech. And then Christ comes to override that. And so there is a counterfeit of the Christ energy. That's what I'm telling you, mm-hmm. is that people get confused. They go, well, wait, I'm hearing this from the devil. I'm hearing this from God. But if you dial into the Holy Spirit, then you see the message. Are we for transgenderism? No. Are we for open borders of fentanyl? No. Are we for getting rid of people? No. Are we for aborting babies? No. Do we believe in the sanctity of the family? Yes. The enemy can't help but attack the things of God The enemy will tell you it loves humanity. The enemy will tell you it's for the family. The enemy will tell you it wants humanity to transcend, but it doesn't. God, in the Garden of Eden, Satan did not give us advanced knowledge. We were pure in the analysis of good in a program of expansion and decency. We still had free will, but it was perfection. Then we were given a model of corruption to manipulate and take control, but to subvert humanity in the end. So that's why it's a parallel, because what is the devil? The devil is a counterfeiter. So anything God is doing, that's like the rainbow is a beautiful symbol. Why does it belong to the pedophiles? Or the OK symbol just means, hey, this is a great dinner. Why is that white supremacy? It's not. The enemy labels all symbols as his. The swastika is a beautiful symbol of the Hindus, of the sun cycle. It's not Adolf Hitler. So that's what I'm trying to say to you, is that you have to integrate and decide your free will to point your spiritual antenna to God, then it'll all be clear. But the devil creates an artificial reality to try to get you to dial into that lie. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually, I'm really glad that you mentioned the word counterfeit, because you're right. Satan is exactly that, a counterfeit of everything that God does. There's nothing, you know, he doesn't create anything. He only mimics and imitates. But that's the whole thing of what I'm talking about, is Satan's MO isn't outright opposition, but rather infiltration and imitation. And the word revelation signifies an unveiling, right? In the way that in Revelation 19, when Jesus comes and he is, you know, he dispels the darkness of the world and he is unveiled as the King of Kings. Well, Satan, in a counterfeit version of that, is going to have his own great revelation event. Rather than piercing the veil that separates man and God by sin, Satan is piercing the counterfeit veil, which is going to reveal the Illuminati, the globalist cabal, and is going to dispel them and bring us into a new age of light. And this is
exactly what, and then the new age they push is a counterfeit, but Christ is the real new age. So we hear new age is bad. No, there's the real new age, the bad. So let's say hypothetically, I'm not saying this is true, Elon Musk is the Antichrist or a model of that. He claims he's opposing the old evil system. He's going to give us empowerment. He's going to do all this. But it's God's plan, because everyone's hungry for that now. And then when they get betrayed by Elon Musk or whoever, they still are hungry for the real thing.
I would say more like the humanity is going to rise up in alliance with the beast to destroy Babylon, the great harlot. In Revelation 17, 16, it says that the beast destroys mystery Babylon, the harlot, makes her desolate and burns her with fire and eats her flesh. And what we have to distinguish is that there's two systems here. So the beast rises and destroys a satanic stronghold called Babylon, which Revelation 14 says has become a dwelling place for demons.
Yeah, right? Babylon falls in 1 hour.
Right. So what I'm suggesting is Babylon is actually the current world evil, transparently evil world system. Because the Bible doesn't say that people worship
I know where you're going. I appreciate we got to go to break.
But what I'm saying
we'll come back with everybody else after this. Chase, guys, you want to comment on that?
All right. So as you can see, it's, you know, when I listen to Alex, it's almost like you're in water. I spent a lot of time in water when I was growing up as a competitive swimmer. But it feels like when you're bobbing up and down and you're underwater and you can't breathe, but you pop right back up, you get a couple breaths of air. When you listen to Alex talk, it's like he's getting some of it, and maybe the words are coming out that mean certain things, but then he sort of goes back under the water, you know, sort of cruises back down, and everything has to be in the context of politics. And I found that to be very interesting, that he's always drawing back to the current paradigm, the left, right, the progressive versus libertarian or conservative. It's always this duality going on. And notice, I don't know if you noticed, but Alex had similar types of language or sentiment as that Alice Bailey quote that we read earlier about humanity crying out for justice, for all this kind of stuff. And I think Alex understood where Donnie Darkin was coming from, and he didn't really like it, because basically it meant that everything Alex is pushing, this whole idea of a uprising and this populist movement and all this kind of stuff, is the beast or the beast system that will eventually eradicate the harlot, as Donnie Darkin was talking about there. Now, is that exactly how it will play out? I don't know. But I think the fact that this is where the conversation is at in the alt media space is quite fascinating, especially in the context of what's happening with the Daily Wire. And you, for those of you watching, there's a picture of Tucker Carlson here with Alex Jones. And of course, Tucker Carlson is sort of the new king of alt media as well on X doing his thing. So I think it's really important to keep in mind that this world is just so ripe for deception at a deep spiritual level. And it's always been like that. But I think the way that ideas can spread, how people can be mobilized, how people's emotions can be manipulated worldwide through this communications network that we have here, everyone's been distributed the tools needed for this to take place. It goes back to Mark 13:22 in the English Standard Version, is the one I'll read here. It says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect." And I think it's important to point out here, false Christs and false prophets. Christs and prophets. These will be individuals that present themselves as the good guy, the one fighting for humanity. And it says here that they're going to perform signs and wonders, which for us, I think reading it, believe that it implies some sort of counterfeit, because 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says right there, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. So when Elon Musk starts claiming that Neuralink is going to cure blindness on Holy Week, it's, you know, it's just one of those things. And again, it's interesting that Elon Musk was brought up in that conversation with Alex Jones as well, because, hey, look, Alex Jones, he's doing what he's got to do. I understand, okay? But we pointed out last year, at the end of last year, Alex Jones was on with Russell Brand. And when he was on with Russell Brand, he was talking about how Trump might be the Antichrist, as sort of this messianic thing going on around Trump.
But now he's transcended just being about positivity into something messianic, which I mean, if you get a snapshot of Trump, he's a dark person, but also, look, if anybody can be the Antichrist, and I don't think he's the Antichrist, but he's the type of person, also Elon Musk. I mean, there's some definite dark energy around Trump, and I know if I was ever controlled opposition, it was unwittingly being sucked into it.
And Elon Musk might be the Antichrist and all this. And then like 2 weeks later, he was basically praising Elon Musk for protecting free speech. Again, notice he mentioned free speech as well and conservative values and things like that versus the evil system. I mean, Alex Jones is in it. He's so embedded in pushing back against the obvious open evil system that, of course, we're all against. It's an obvious thing that we're against this sort of evil, transparent system. But the danger, I think, that many of us are starting to recognize is, hey, we get it. Like, we get that we need to rise up against this and all this type of stuff, but hold your horses. It's not us. We're not going to be the ones to completely eradicate this. In fact, the takedown of it will be part of the judgment of God, but in doing so, you might be participating also in being the battering ram to destroy that old system, which gets disregarded anyway. Revelation 19:20, the beast was captured, and with the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. The two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. So the beast eventually is destroyed. That's after, as Donnie Darkin mentioned in his rant there, destroys the harlot. Revelation 17:16, and the 10 horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. So if you're not familiar with our thesis around here, Mystery Babylon in the book of Revelation is likely eschatological Jerusalem. And there are a lot of proof texts to suggest that. And then the beast, which in Revelation 13 is seen rising out of the sea, which is the people. It's sort of this people uprising, and there's a whole system there in place, and there are 10 kings that rule there. There's the little horn, which seems to be a particularly important figure in that regard. And it might be confusing because there will be a perceived unity at the beginning between the harlot and the kings of the earth, so to speak, because in Revelation 17 and 18, it talks about how the merchants got wealthy. So anyway, I can go on and on about this stuff, but I'll leave it there. I think the important takeaway with all of this is to be vigilant, stay watchful, pay attention to what people are saying. Don't trust anybody that you listen to online. I mean, even us, seriously, don't just listen to us and take everything that we say at face value. Do your own research, be prayerful about it, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, all those good things. But I will say that as I try to finish this really long article that I'm trying to write on X, the takeaway from that article that I'll just spill out here in a few words is to analyze, number one, the core message of any content creator out there. You know, for us, it's, hey, Jesus is king. It's Christ is king. Jesus is my Lord and Savior personally. He wants to be your personal Lord and Savior. And there you go. Boom. That's the core message. Now we have a lot of stuff surrounding that, a lot of fun with different topics and Nephilim penguins and, you know, worm acorns on the moon and all kinds of stuff. Okay. And we have lots of disagreements about cosmology or eschatology, but it's okay. Our main thing is, hey, we believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. So that's the core message. So analyze the core message of your favorite content creator. A lot of times when they're very popular in the alt media space, it's more political. It's more about, hey, represent conservatism, vote right, vote red, all this kind of stuff. It's very political driven. And those are the people that really get popular and can pop off and become superstar celebrity types because they are pushing that right-left paradigm. And of course, we're starting to see this new rise of a top-down type of paradigm where you're pushing back against the system, against the globalists. That's sort of what Alex Jones represents here. And I think Candace Owens leaning into the Christ consciousness is moving in that direction where it's a right-left thing, but also it's an up-down thing. And so we have to, we're the down, we got to push back against the up. And so these paradigm wars will continue as time goes on. But the first thing is core message, the core message of any content creator. The second thing is their economic model. How are they generating the income or the cash flow to exist, okay? And so for us, we've been very upfront about our economic model here at Canary Cry, which is value for value. And that means, hey, we put all the content out there for free. Everything is free. Newsletters, emails, text messages that we send to you, the live streams, the RSS feeds, the content is free. And the only thing we ask is, hey, if you get value out of our content, consider providing value back and do it in any of the three ways, time, talent, or treasure, which is basically volunteer your time, do some artwork, make some music for us, do some ISOs, whatever it is, edit stuff in the background, help us with emails, help us with scheduling guests. There's all kinds of ways you can help. And of course, with your treasure, a monetary way to do it. And we're open about it. We're open about it. And we thank the people on air as producers, because that's what they're doing. They're producing the show with their time, talent, and treasure. And so we are very open about that being our economic model here at Canary Cry. And I think what people have to start doing is analyzing, okay, what am I listening to? The podcast that I like, or this personality that I really enjoy listening to about political commentary and things like that. What is their economic model? So again, number one, what's their core message? Number two, what is their economic model? That will really determine where they're coming from, what their motives might be. So if you're really into some commentary from a particular personality in the alt media space, and you're waiting for that real good analysis on Joe Biden, and they stop and say,
everybody loves waffles,
that person may not have your best interest. And that's not to say that everybody who does advertising or sponsorships or affiliates or anything like that, that all those people are evil. No, that is not what we're saying at all. And I actually talk about that in this article that I'm writing here, of how the internet has allowed for everyone to make their own sort of economic fortresses and build their own businesses. And, you know, the spirit of entrepreneurship and all that kind of stuff has come with it. It's no longer all the big giant corporations, which still exist, and they're still in power, and they're still the military industrial complex, and those things still exist. But I think as time goes on, it's becoming more and more unpopular, and this new thing is going to rise up, and it's just going to be as bad. It's going to feel like it's going to be better because it's new and all this stuff, but it's going to be just as bad. And ultimately, I think the message here where Alex Jones missed the final message, if you're a true believer and you truly believe that Jesus Christ is returning, is that, hey, he will return. And when he returns, then there will be true justice. It's not going to happen on our timeline or our lifetimes even, maybe. I mean, we all feel like it's the end, but it may not happen in our lifetimes. We don't know. But I think it's important to watch prayerfully and understand that that's what we are ultimately waiting for. And it's not truly up to us. I know there's a free will element. I forgot to mention that part earlier on, this whole leaning into free will that Alex Jones was mentioning. It's the same thing that the whole Lucius Trust point was with free will and giving man the choice, which is, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild when you think about it, because it is sort of the Garden of Eden moment, the choice that you have to obey God or to disobey God. It is very straightforward. So I hope you get something out of this rant here and these clips. I tried to keep it as tight as possible. We'll be back on Monday with another Canary Cry News Talk episode. A lot has happened. I don't even want to bring it up because I'll rant about it. So I'll cut it off here. Thank you for listening. Go to canarycry.support if you want to learn more about how to support us. Go to canarycry.tube to join the focus group for Age of Deceit 4. I'm eagerly waiting. I want that thing to happen so we can get that moving. Just waiting on Basil to pull a few more levers and make sure that all things are in line and ready to go. And of course, you can go to canarycry.party for all the links, canarycrynewstalk.com if you want to just go straight to the news talk episodes, canarycryradio.com if you want to go straight to the radio episodes. We have a big archive on both websites. Have a great Resurrection Sunday. I'll talk to you soon. God bless, and remember to think outside the cage.